Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks again for joining me this week. Got another great show for you. And before we get into the interview room where we're going to speak to my guest, we're going to take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to give you my view from the blue.
The briefing room, headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
Why am I always talking about California? Why am I always finding subjects to talk about that make me insane and raise my blood pressure and make me go crazy? Is that because California is the land of rainbows and unicorns and they've completely lost their mind? Well, the answer to that question is yes. And once again, we got some insanity going over there that can literally, will literally affect the lives of every law enforcement officer in California. It has the strong potential to end the lives of law enforcement officers as well as citizens. I'm talking about the state, several state legislators, lawmakers, and I use that term as, and I shake my head when I do it. Well, in a knee-jerk response to the shooting of Stephen Clark in Sacramento last week, they're losing their minds. Well, let's talk about this shooting first. Stephen Clark, career criminal, lives in this neighborhood in Sacramento. Goes out one night. Now he's already done all kinds of criminal activities. He's a relatively young guy, 22, 23 years old. Extensive juvenile history and an adult history as well. Well, he goes out one night and he's breaking into his neighbor's cars and homes. A real upstanding fellow. A neighbor sees him breaking into a car, contacts 911, calls the police. The police are responding, and the Sacramento Sheriff's Department air unit gets to the area, and they have a forward-looking infrared radar. That is the radar that can read the heat signature of a human being. They have a very clear video of him running away from the police, going into backyards, looking into windows, and then the helicopter sees him trying to break into a house with some type of toolbar. And there's an 86-year-old man living in there. He gets scared away from that. The air unit is directing the patrol cars into where this guy is. They try to confront him. He runs from them. You can see him going over fences and trying to get away from the police. He gets into a backyard. Well, it turns out that it's his hideout. It's where his grandmother lives. And before he can get in, two Sacramento officers, one black and one white, confront him, order him to show his hands, and then you can hear this on their body cams and see what they're doing. They yell to him to put his hands up or show him their hands. And instead, he walks towards them a few steps, and he raises what is later found to be a camera. Now, it's his phone. And whether he was trying to take pictures of the police, I don't know. Who knows what his thought process was. But when he took that stance, the officers, in that low-light condition, thought that he had a gun. It's a very reasonable thing to think. If a guy raises his hands in what appeared to be a shooting stance, they see an object in his hands, you can hear one of the officers yell, "Gun, gun, gun," and then they open fire. They shot, I think, a total of 20 rounds in about, 3 seconds. They killed the suspect. They killed Stephen Clark. And as you might well imagine, unarmed black man killed by police. Turns out that one of the officers is black, one of the officers is white, but that certainly got the tensions rolling and then the cries of police brutality, excessive force, racism, and everything else that the usual mumbo jumbo. Nobody talks about the fact this guy's a criminal. Nobody talks about the fact that, he's the one that didn't comply. Nobody talks about the fact that he raised his hands in what the officers perceived to be a threatening gesture, and they defended themselves. Once again, Sacramento is at the center of this, and the state legislators start losing their minds. So as a result of this, first of all, there's marches everywhere. The basketball team up there, the Kings or whatever the hell they are, the protesters don't allow paying customers to get in. They block the entrance to the playing field. And what do they do? What does the Kings do? Well, they decide to pay off Black Lives Matter. Yeah, they decide they're going to make donations, quote unquote, to Black Lives Matter. And then one of the players says he'll pay for the funeral of the guy that the police so wrongfully killed. And once again, we have turmoil in another major city. All the blame goes entirely to the police. This poor innocent guy. Of course, the pictures that they put up make him look like he's Father of the Year. He's smiling, he's happy, he's holding his children, and the propaganda machine begins. So, what does California legislators do? They have now trying to, with their buddies from the ACLU, they are proposing that California becomes the first state to significantly restrict when officers can open fire. The headline is California eyes lethal force law after officer-involved shootings. And here's the first paragraph. Several lawmakers and the family of a 22-year-old unarmed black man who was fatally shot by police are proposing Tuesday that California become the first state to significantly restrict when officers can open fire. The legislation would change the standard from using, quote, reasonable force, unquote, to necessary force. Now, why is this significant? I'll tell you why. This is a huge, huge problem for law enforcement. This will cause hesitation that will kill cops. It will cause hesitation that will kill civilians. And why do I say that? The United States, for years, and this is from the Supreme Court, have always looked at use of deadly force from the reasonable officer standpoint, okay? That means that if you were a reasonable officer, how would you judge the threat that you are looking at and perceive that threat to be a deadly force situation? If it's a reasonable thing to think, then you are considered to be shielded by the law and you're protected. Now, if they change that and they legislate that it is necessary force, who's going to judge what is necessary? In a situation similar to what we are viewing here in Sacramento, in the light of day, when the lawyers and the ACLU and the politicians and the social justice warriors see in hindsight that he didn't have a gun, that he had a cell phone, then it wasn't necessary force. So then these police officers who are literally making a life and death decision in moments will be susceptible to prosecution. And that is the ultimate goal of the ACLU and of the politicians of California, making it easier to prosecute police officers. Now, this will not only lead to prosecution of police officers, but this will lead to cops doing less and less proactive policing. It will lead to them not going to calls where they might face lethal force. It will cause hesitation on their part, which will get them killed, and at the same time leave the citizens to their own devices. This is a very, very dangerous situation. And once again, you can tell this is within days of this shooting, the ACLU is pushing these legislators who, between all of them, don't have a lick of common sense. It's just another way to pander for votes, to rally their community, and once again, find a blame and blame it on law enforcement. It seems like it is absolutely impossible for anyone to look past the actions of the police and look at the actions of the suspect. And they're referring to him as the victim, Stephen Clark. He's the victim. Stephen Clark is a suspect. He's the one that made the decisions to go out and commit crimes. He's the one that made the decision to commit burglaries. He's the one that made the decision not to comply with law enforcement when all he had to do was give up. Now, you know, here's the thing. He wasn't even facing any jail time because they have decriminalized most of the offenses over there. So he was breaking into cars. He'd probably get a ticket and get released. You know, when he did try to break into a house, that's a felony. But would he have served time for it? Hell no. They don't serve time for anything in California unless their record is so long that they can't find a way not to get him to serve time. So he was actually not facing really any penalties. And yet he couldn't come to terms with being accountable for his own actions. And this is what creating this issue throughout the country. People simply not taking responsibility for their actions, and we are finding that who plays foil to them is law enforcement, because law enforcement responds. Law enforcement is right in the middle because that's what they do, and they try to take the actions that are appropriate. And in the case of Stephen Clark, when all is said and done, and the prosecutor looks at everything in this case, they're going to find that the police did nothing wrong. Were the results unfortunate? Yes, of course. No one wants to take a human life. But did the police act reasonably? If you were in that backyard with that man and you told him to put his hands up and he didn't, and in fact walked towards you and raised his hands and he had an object in him, what would you think? A reasonable person would think, oh my God, he's got a gun and he's going to shoot me. That's what the law enforcement officers felt here. They took the necessary methods to alleviate the risk, and unfortunately a man lost his life. This is unfortunately repeating itself over and over all throughout the United States. And until we start realizing that we are accountable for our own actions and hold people accountable for their own actions, we're going to find a very convenient scapegoat once again in the law enforcement of this nation. It's something that cannot be tolerated. It is the legislature who is looking at changing the laws here in California. If they do so, they're going to have the blood of law enforcement officers on their hands. Do they care? Probably not. But this is where the voters of California need to rally behind law enforcement and make it known to your state legislature that you will not tolerate it as a voter. Get involved. Not only does the life of a police officer depend upon it, but it may be your life as well. Anything that I can do to make law enforcement lives better, safer, and more effective, you can count me in. And I got to tell you about an incredible investigative tool that I have discovered. For those detectives involved in any criminal activity investigations, and crime analysts too, this is amazing. And it's got a couple different uses. I mean, you can use it for conspiracies. You can use it for murder investigations, drug investigations, trafficking humans. It was originally created for IED investigations. That's improvised explosive devices in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the owner, the president of this company, which is Blue Light LLC, is a retired Green Beret Sergeant Major, and they use this stuff very effectively. It is now available to police agencies, big and small. And I got to tell you, I've seen it in use. It is amazing. It's Blue Light LLC, okay? And any criminal investigation where you want to gather the evidence and show the connections to people, this is the product. I've seen it. It's amazing. And these people do incredible work with it. They train you up in it. And it's for big agencies, small agencies. It's being used all over the country. It's in conjunction with IBM. This is amazing, amazing software. So check it out, Blue Light LLC, and that's bluelightllc.com. Check it out, and this will solve crimes and save lives. If you are in law enforcement, you're in the investigative analysis branch, or you're a detective, there is going to be an amazing conference I'm going to be attending. In fact, I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers. It is the Information to Intelligence Summit. That's information, then the number 2, intelligencesummit.com. And this is going to be a three-day event. It's going to be in Denver, Colorado. It's got some phenomenal classes, speakers. And if you are in the law enforcement community, you really should check this out. You're going to get exposed to some major investigative opportunities here as far as learning some institutional knowledge and given some great tools. So once again, it's the it's going to be in Denver, Colorado, and it is going to be May 8th through 11th. May 8th through 11th in Denver, Colorado. Go to Information to Intelligence Summit.com. Information to Intelligence Summit.com. And I'll see you in Denver in May.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
With me today on Blue Life Radio, the voice of American law enforcement in the interview room, is an old friend. Well, he's not really old, but he is a friend. And he is not only a retired SWAT officer from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, but he is the president and founder of Vantac International. And Vantac International is founded on the basis of family, faith, firearms, and safety through education and training. Jody Vanek, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thanks so much, Randy. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. You know, with the hottest topic in the news today is firearms. And, you know, we are seeing hysteria from certain elements of society who are screaming, ban the guns, ban the guns. You're seeing all kinds of governmental machinations taking place with trying to control firearms, and it's almost like a hysterical response to some of the violence that we have seen. But you know, you have taken a very interesting stance
on this topic. Why don't you, let's talk about that.
That sounds good to me, Randy.
Now, you had a long career in law enforcement. Just talk about that for a moment, then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Well, you know, I served with you in Las Vegas for 20 years. I did my last 9 years as a SWAT sniper, and, you know, I always enjoyed the working end of that. You know, as I don't know, I can't say enough about it. You know, the great thing about working for a big police department, as you know, is a well-funded police department allows you a lot of training. So being in SWAT the last 9 years, I got to train with a lot of great people, which led to me leaving the department after 20 years and gave me the opportunity to train people around the world in reference to firearms and tactics and strategy. So it was a great thing for me. I have no complaints.
That's awesome. So what are you doing now? Tell us about Vantac. And I know that you have a tremendous fan base with some of the incredible videos that you put out, but why did you create it? What's it about?
Well, you know what's really interesting? It's just kind of morphed into what it is, Randy. When I first started Vantac International in Las Vegas, it was right after the killing of those two police officers in June of 2014 when they were ambushed and killed in that pizza shop. And the original part of the company was to teach the general public about safety, you know, all the way from just starting with awareness to self-defense to edged weapons and then, of course, the firearms. And when we had started that, we had clients from teenage girls getting ready to go to college to 70-year-old women who came in, and I learned a lot about mindset, especially from women. You know, women are great if you want to teach them about self-defense compared to guys, because guys know everything. But, you know, it's the truth, right? Like I tell everybody, you give a guy a gun and a box of bullets, he's a gunfighter. But women are pretty awesome. You know, we had a couple women come in, a couple 70-year-old women. And, you know, I had a partner at the time, a good friend of mine, about 25 years, and she was actually attacked by a serial killer when she was 22 years old. She was the only girl that ever survived an attack.
Really?
Yeah, she was really awesome. And anyway, these women came in, and I said, gee whiz, I don't know what I want to teach them, you know? And when we talked, I said, well, when we asked these older women, what would you do if you were attacked? And they said, well, I'd just give up whatever they wanted. I said, what if they wanted you? And they said, well, you know, what can I do? I've never taken a defensive class. So we said, heck with it. We taught them this class, and at the end of it, they said, you know what? I'd fight. So, you know, a lot of people just lack. They don't understand what you and I have lived, you know, what military guys and police officers live, the lives of violence. And then there's this misnomer that because we live a life of violence, we don't love, we don't care. And, of course, we know that that's just the opposite for people like us. We do it because we do care, right? We love and care about people, even though, for the most part, the more we deal with them, especially dealing with the bad part, you kind of remove yourself from them, like me moving up to Montana on a big piece of property. But, you know, soldiers and policemen, they care enough to risk their lives every day. And there was a time we were respected for it. And I think we still are. It's just that the media makes it look like we're not.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right there. I think the vast majority of Americans believe in their law enforcement, but you know it's difficult to fight a media that is filled with some type of propaganda machine that puts out just the opposite. And what are you doing with Vantac? I mean, how are you combating this problem? I know that it's family oriented.
Well,
that's very interesting.
Well, you know, honestly, what happened, Randy, was I love my son. My son is 7 years old, and you know, my father was a great guy. He was the last of the tough guys, is what I used to call him. And he built houses his whole life. The first house we lived in when I was a kid, but he never taught me how to build a house. So me, I know how to. I've always been a strategist and a tactician and a shooter. So I said, I'm going to share it with my boys. So since he was about 2, I started him with toys. And at about 5, we got him onto real firearms. And then by 6, he was doing just incredible things. We got some great, incredible footage of him doing things. He outshoots half the SWAT team I was on. And it was a great team. It was a tier 1 team. But you know, what's really interesting is that all of a sudden we started getting these gigantic viral videos, and we've reached over 130 million people around the world with those videos now.
130 million people.
Yeah, that's what we've reached. You know, I think about 60 million people actually viewed. Reached means it gets to their computers, but you know, we were doing astronomical, and And then, of course, you know, going back to media in December of just last year, just a few months back, we just surged up to over 100,000. I call them supporters. I kind of don't like the word follow because, I they just support us. But and then Facebook came up with this new, hey, we're going to change the algorithms. And we were reaching, I think the numbers were, we were reaching 7.4 million people a week with our page. And 2.1 were engaging in conversation. Then Facebook made that change, and within 8 weeks, we were down to 100,000 and about 50,000. I thought they were going to turn the page off.
Well, and that wouldn't surprise me, considering the anti-gun lobby and the some of the liberal, you know, leanings of Facebook. So you're kind of battling what many conservative pages are going through. In fact, I found it with my page as well. I have a pretty engaged following, but I keep on getting the information that they're not getting my posts. So clearly, somebody looked at what you're doing and put the kibosh on it. But you're still reaching a ton of people.
Yeah, you know, Randy, God is great, right? And our page is about family, faith, and firearms. And I'm a Christian. You know, I'm a hard guy. You know, I put videos out about reality. I tell people I've been known to have a few drinks, and I can make a drunken sailor blush when I get to talking, you know, with my language. But there's this misnomer that rough men have nothing to do with God, and there's no truth in that. And anyway, so we're up to, actually, it was a blessing this morning. We had gotten up to about 900,000, and this week we're reaching 1 million people again. So we're still 700% lower than we were, but still we got 1 million people a week that are, that we're reaching with our videos and our message.
Let's talk about what is your message, Jody? Tell me what your message is. Tell my listeners what your message is.
Absolutely, Randy. You know, when we started the Vantech International videos, it was just to show people, you know, what a kid can do. So now I've got a 5-year-old kid that's completely safe, and I have a whole series. I'm thinking I might write a little book. I have so many people now that are following us and teaching their children. So we were saying, look, and if a 5-year-old kid can be completely safe with a real gun and be incredibly talented with it, what is this misnomer that guns and kids don't mix? And that's kind of what we're showing people with Wyatt. I mean, Wyatt is fabulous, and the videos show it, but he's safe, and he's a good kid. And he's, you know, but if we get to a subject where, you know, Wyatt's been homeschooled too, and I'll never put him in the public school system. And that's something that I was really hoping to talk about today with you.
Let's talk about that. I mean, so your son is now 7 years old, you know, and you know, if you were listening to the mainstream media, they would basically probably accuse you of child abuse for teaching your son how to use a gun. But you're using these teachable moments to even bring your family closer together.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm talking about with the page. You know, really, it's about time with my son. You know, God bless me that I had him when I was late in my career. I wasn't busy and kind of putting him on the wayside like most parents do. And it's not neglectfully. It's just life. You know, we all want two-income families now because we all want things. But, you know, God's blessed me, and I have the opportunity to spend every minute with that. So really, we tell people, hey, spend time with your kids. And we have people that love the page because their dad wasn't good to them, or their dad was great to them and is gone. And all these memories, you know. But what I'm concerned about now with children is that children are the answer. And I recognize that children are the answer for our page because of my one child. But when you go to the public school system, you know, it's interesting. When we were still in Las Vegas, and I had just started Vantech International, I contemplated taking Wyatt to the public school system. So I went over to a local school in our neighborhood. And I walked in and I said, listen, this is me. I'm a retired policeman here in this city, 20 years, and I'd like to speak with the principal about safety of the school and why they think that my son would get a better education in a classroom with 25 students as opposed to one-on-one with his mother. And immediately, you know, I got ridiculed for being a homeschool parent. And realize this, when I walked into the school, I didn't take a firearm because, of course, it's against the law. which is another bitter subject with me. But
yeah.
So I walked in there. There was no buzzing in of the door. There was 25 children in the cafeteria right next to me. All the women were in the office. I mean, if I was a bad guy, I could have done a lot of damage. Well, the woman looks at me and says, listen, we don't care about your past. We're not going to discuss safety with you, because what if you decide to tell somebody else who wants to come in here and do something wrong? And, homeschooling, you're not going to get the professionalism and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, could you just have the principal call me in there? You know, that was 3 years ago, and I'm still waiting for the call eagerly, but the principal never called.
Why am I not shocked at that one? Right.
Well, the big thing, though, Randy, is public school, right? You know, I read a little bit of history. I'm definitely no historian, but Abraham Lincoln said that the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next.
Exactly.
So if you look at public school now, they're teaching children everything about guns is bad. Now, if they had a rule that said, listen, you can't bring a gun to school unless you have permission, that makes sense. But when they say you can't have a picture, you can't draw a picture, you can't fake one with your hand, you can't chew a Pop-Tart into one or you're going to get suspended, they are brainwashing children into believing that everything about guns are bad. And if you take that now, here's a great story. So just a couple of days ago, I went to my insurance agent, and his son, which is smaller in stature but was a boxer and a wrestler, didn't want to go to school. And he said, son, what's wrong? And he says, well, this guy's bullying me. And he said, son, you can defend yourself if you need to. Now, a couple of days later, the kid goes to school. The bully picks on him. He punches him in the nose a couple of times. They both get suspended. And the father says, I can't do anything about that, but you're not in trouble with me. Now, I really like this guy. He's a good guy. But I say nonsense. You know, if that was me, if I was in the public school system, I'd go back and say that's nonsense. See, because what we're teaching children along with that is that they don't have a right to defend themselves.
Right.
So
right.
If you look at, take the guns and teaching children to be subjective to authority, hell, we're going to turn into England all over again. That's why we left England in the first place. And I see those things in public school. And I have to say that, not all teachers aren't bad. You know, they just have to do what they have to do. And not even all administration is bad. But, I hate to sound like a crazy because I'm not. Maybe I'm getting older and turning into one. But, gun control is a huge issue. Gun control is a global issue. If you look at history, the taking of guns leads to atrocities. And this is the only country that is so strong as it is. And I just wish that more gun-owning Americans would get up and, we have to start attending school board meetings and city hall meetings and county meetings, because the liberal agenda is using our strength against us as conservatives. And our strength is that we always say we mind our own business. Well, the country is our business. And the conservatives have to start, after all day working, right? They aren't sitting in the basement all day playing on the computer and having free time to do something. They provide for their family, they work hard, and they mind their own business, but now they have to get out there. That's the only way we can change things. Could you imagine if 100 million gun owners finally stood up together and said, enough? I mean, it would be over.
Well, so let's talk about how you're influencing people using your videos and your. I mean, you actively train people in firearms safety and CCW classes, correct?
Well, we used to do CCW classes when we were in Las Vegas. When we came to Montana, we haven't gotten back into that yet. We actually have a few things going. I do train people with firearms. We kind of do it more on a almost a one-on-one basis. We're going to try to start a few different programs, but we're also working on an invention that I've been working on, a rifle system product that we're actually going to be introducing to the U.S. military in a few weeks. So that's got a lot of my time. But the page is teaching a lot of people. They're seeing a seven-year-old child. I teach him sniping skills and movement skills with a handgun. I teach people how to gunfight, not how to shoot. And when you see what he does, people go, wow, I have to watch this. I have to see this. And then, of course, we talk about what's important to us, too, and that is family and faith in Jesus Christ. God is a great thing. I try to put some videos out there and be a little funny. I'm not very funny, though. I'm funny looking, but I'm not too funny,
Well,
but I just think that, I think through God's grace, Randy, I think that we just inspire people. You know, people, we put the page together to inspire people. You know, we don't make any money off it. We're hoping to start putting some products out there, because actually we bought a big piece of property so we wouldn't have to be controlled on the range. And, you know, we expend bullets and we buy steel, and it's kind of become a full-time job now with no pay. So we're hoping to start putting some products out there, some hats and shirts. A lot of the supporters are asking for that. And maybe this book too, because I think that, you know, I think that to go back to it, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but to go back to it, we have to get children back into to the firearms. Because if we do what the public school system is doing, there won't be a fight for the Second Amendment in the next generation. Because everybody will believe there's no need for a firearm. And in my belief, if the Second Amendment were to disappear, the whole country would fall apart.
You know, that's an interesting point. You know, we're talking about, in essence, the educational system today is quite literally, They're demonstrating a political agenda, and they are using their positions of basically authority over children to put forth their particular political sentiment against the Second Amendment. And I think that what you're saying is very valid, that we're the next generation, if they continually are given this thought pollution against law enforcement and against gun rights, then that's going to be their thinking as they grow up, and it will have a serious effect in a future generation.
Yeah, I agree. That's just it, Randy. I mean, and you know, the way it's done, see, it's much bigger than even the school. I think it's a global agenda thing. I just really do. And it's really smart, because they're putting it under the guise of safety for children. And of course, that makes everybody wants their children to be safe. But, you know, what's really great is this thing in New Jersey a couple weeks ago, where the two teenagers over the weekend went shooting on the firearm range, completely legal, take some pictures, post it on social media, come back to school on Monday, they get suspended. I mean, now, thank goodness there was a gun group that sued the school district and they immediately recanted. But that's this mindset. That shows you. And, you know, there's another group out there. When we first started getting viral videos, there's a group out there called the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. They got about 300,000 people on Facebook. And I'm telling you, these are radicals. They saw a video that we posted with Wyatt and I when he was 5 at the time. And we were just drawing guns together out of the holster. And they had people in their group that were writing things like, I hope that kid kills his parents and kills himself. And then that group found my wife and mine's personal Facebook page and said, here are the parents, let them know what you think. I mean, so I changed my name for almost 3 years. I had changed my name to an alias, because we were constantly getting people trying to befriend us and act like they were pro-gun people. It was totally bizarre.
That shows you something. That shows you something right there. These are people who are espousing a viewpoint of concern for people. And yet, because you don't agree with their viewpoints, they're willing to quite literally threaten and harass you and your family. That's sickening.
It is sickening, Randy. And you know that all the time. I mean, you talk about those things all the time. That's what's happening. But I really think it's propagated by the media. And I know that people are talking about it, sounds like it, but, you know, I think people, what's happening, thank goodness, is that God works all things for his good. And I think people are beginning to question media. But the sad thing is, the way that the strategy that the liberal agenda works, it's actually pretty smart. You know, if you come out and you say, hey, you know, if I were to say something negative about you because I know it's true about me, and then it comes out about me, then people just saying, hey, which one is true, and nobody can prove one way or the other. And that's where the media is. They're misleading people. I mean, I really don't think there's always going to be racism in the country, but it's propagated by, my gosh, the last administration and the media. And, you know, you put a toothless person of any color on the camera saying they hate the other race, and it just builds this up. And I think all that is to take our mind off what's really important, and that is the country and family and freedom. I mean, I think people have forgotten what freedom is, because slowly, I believe it is being taken away. There's just too much overregulation, and you know that more than anything else. You know, too many laws, too much regulation, not a lot of things are applied, and And we're just not, we have to get back to reality. We're into this politically correct world, and we need to get back to reality. That's it.
So it sounds to me like your mission is basically to educate and to bring forth your philosophy to others through sharing of videos. Now, where do people see your videos?
Well, we're biggest on Facebook. We do have a webpage that we're building now. I'm not a techie guy, but our website is vantac.com. That's V as in Victor, ANTAC.com. But mostly on Facebook, and we post videos. We try to post at least one a day, sometimes up to three, and it touches on all things. I have a couple different series. I have like my rants where I talk about what's going on around the world. Then we have videos with Wyatt and I, which we're trying to show people how to educate people and be safe with firearms and spend time with family. And that's where people will mostly see it is on right now. It's Facebook, but we always ask people now with what's happened, even though we're on a resurge, if you enjoy our content, remember our webpage, because that may be the only thing on the air one day, because right. They can't control that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, what would they look? So they go to Facebook. What do they look under?
They look up Vantac International. As a matter of fact, I think if you type in Vantac, we're the only one. But Vantac International is the name of the page. And then I don't know how many videos we've got now, but we got a lot of great stuff. And I try to get back to people. What I were to say is if anybody goes to the page and really has a question, message me directly on the page, because when we hit a viral video, I mean, one of our videos went over 81 million. And, people would try to ask a question. Yeah, it was crazy. It was just me and Wyatt with a couple toy guns talking nonverbal communication skills, kind of a stealth mode through the house. But, you know, when you get that kind of numbers and people try to ask a question on a feed, I bet you I missed, you know, probably a million, thank goodness, because I'd have never slept. But so if anybody has anything they'd like to ask directly or be involved with the page, I try to get back to everybody, but it's best to message directly on the page.
And also, they can probably contact you through your vantac.com.
Correct. That's the truth. You know, the other thing is, too, even my phone number's on there. I ask, I don't mind.
That's a lot of guts.
I did it. And I get crazy stuff sometimes. But, Randy, life is short. And I appreciate helping people. I really do. I mean, some guy called me. He's down on his luck. His name is Matt. And I actually made a video about him. The guy was just really down on his luck. And inspiration, not from me, just I'm the messenger, right? But I just talked a little bit about God and about what he expects of him, and then how great he was, because each one of us is created by God in his image. And the guy got back on his feet. And you know what's really interesting about that? That's what I love. You know, the supporters is what keeps me alive, because all of a sudden supporters were jumping on the page saying, "Hey, Matt, contact me. Hey, Matt, contact me." So Matt sent me a message the other day, and he was going to talk to me. I said, "I'm really busy this morning. I can't talk." He goes, "That's okay. I've got so many people to talk to. Thank you." So, you know, that's our reward, is just helping people out.
Well, that's fantastic. I think when you get right down to it, I mean, after a life of service in law enforcement, that's what it really comes down to anyway, is well, how can we help others? And you found a very interesting outlet in which to do that. So, you know, your message is about bringing families closer together. Your message is about teaching children the proper way to handle a firearm, and to utilize that in a very positive way by bringing your family closer together, and also teaching your children that it's okay to defend themselves. You know, let's face it, Jody. I mean, one of the things that I have seen and just shaken my head about is we're teaching our kids to be a bunch of soft little snowflakes, not to defend themselves, to basically become a middle of the road, don't commit yourself kind of kid. And I think that we're doing a real disservice to the future of our country. I mean, look at this: 70% of people applying for the military can't even get in because they're soft and they're obese and they don't have the capability to even join the military.
Yeah, I saw an article on that, and And I agree with you, Randy. You know, you and I see the eye and eye on pretty much everything. But, you know, the other end of that, too, is that it's emboldening. You know, if we tell children they can't defend themselves, it only emboldens bullies.
Right.
You know, it's like if you tell the police they can't perform. I mean, you're awesome on this, but you tell the police, hey, you be careful what you do. You got to risk your life even more than usual. People want policemen to get shot at and run away. And it's insane. And you know, so what do we do about that? But what we're doing is we're emboldening the other side by not being ourselves. You know, bullies were stopped before because you were bigger and tougher than the bully. And if you weren't, you and three of your friends were. That's how you stop a bully.
But
you know, the big thing, Randy, and I know that you're all about this, but you know, we have a conservative president in, whether you completely like him or not, but he's in there. What conservatives do is they sit back, and it can't happen. The president can't make all the changes himself. It's up to everybody. Everybody has power, and we're all brainwashed into believing that we don't matter. And if you believe you don't matter, you don't, because you won't do anything. It's the power of the people, and it sounds foolish, right? It sounds like, oh, that's old school talk, but it's not. If everybody got up and got involved, the country would be a much better place. But we've been brainwashed into believing that we don't matter. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So everybody has to get up and band together. And that's what we're hoping to do with the page. You know, if we were to get to 1 million people and people entrusted in me, which really entrusting to me is entrusting in God, because I'm just the messenger. I'm just a guy. But if I had 1 million people and something went wrong, I could say, hey, look, this is what's going on. Everybody over in whatever state that's in, why don't you go over there and visit the school district and let them know what you think? I mean, we need to start banding people together and being part of the country.
I agree with you. Unity is so very important, and unfortunately, we're very, very segmented at this point, which I think is probably part of the agenda of certain groups as well. But so you know, we're running out of time here, Jody. Once again, your Vantac International, Vantac videos are on Facebook. Is there any other way that they can see them? Are they on your website?
We're starting to put them on the website. Like I said, I'm not very techy, so you can go to Vantac.com. We're also on YouTube, but we're pretty small on there, and there's a rumor now that YouTube is going to be eliminating gun videos. So
oh, yeah.
Really, right. Yeah, so Facebook and the website is the best, but right now Facebook is the strongest proponent. That's where we go to every day.
Very good. So my guest this morning has been Jody Vanek, founder of Vantac, former SWAT officer, who has a very unique approach on building strong family values through the use and education of firearms. And I want to thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thanks so much, Randy.
I don't know about you, but I want to look my best and feel my best. And that means that I got to eat right. I have to work out. It makes me feel good. But, you know, when you get to a certain age, there are some very stubborn places that are very difficult to lose weight on. You know, for a guy, it's his stomach and kind of his flanks. And a woman, well, we know where that is. But I have found an incredible answer to this problem, and I'm going to admit to you that I did this procedure. It's a place called Bell Medical, B-E-L-L-E, Bell Medical, and they're in Utah, and they're also in Las Vegas, and they do body contouring, basically. It is absolutely pain-free. It's amazing. You're awake during the entire procedure. And you can literally lose 3 to 5 inches off of your belly and other places in just an afternoon. Now, if that sounds crazy, I got to tell you, I know it's true because I did it. And it is incredible. I'm 3 weeks into my procedure. It was virtually painless. There's a little bit of bruising. And I got to say, I'm looking good. In fact, if you contact Bell Medical, go to bellmedicalvegas.com, B-E-L-L-E, medicalvegas.com. They can show you before and after pictures, and my pictures are in there. You will not believe it. It is it's the best way to lose stubborn body fat that you may work for years, months trying to get rid of. They'll give you a free consultation. You got nothing to lose. It's amazing. BellMedicalVegas.com. Check it out. Now, if you're a police officer or if you are a spouse or a family member, one of the things that is very necessary to help save lives are the ballistic vests and the body armor that police officers wear. The problem with that is that they're uncomfortable. They're hot, especially in the summertime. They get wet, they get sweaty, they get nasty, and it's part of the deal. I mean, you gotta wash them, you gotta take care of them, and that's one of the problems with having a ballistic vest. There is a new product, and I kind of like it. They call it StinkyVest.com. That's the company, and they arrest odors. I love it. And this is really good stuff. And it's not, you don't have to just use it for vests. It's good for all kinds of odors, hampers, the whole bit. And it's really effective stuff. It won't harm your skin. It's really a necessity. If you wear ballistic body armor, or if you want to use it for just home use, this is some really good stuff. And if it's only available at StinkyVest.com, go take a look at it. It's put out by a law enforcement organization, and it eliminates odors without harmful chemicals, pet odors, the whole bit. So check it out. That's StinkyVest.com, and you can contact them, see their products, and it is worthwhile. If you are a law enforcement officer in the United States, or if you are a company that hires off-duty law enforcement officers for, say, security jobs, traffic jobs, things like that, you want to listen to this advertisement, because this is a company that's out of Arizona, but they have a presence in most of the states in the United States. They're called Law Enforcement Specialists Incorporated, and they have a really interesting business model. They take police officers. If you're interested in working extra duty jobs, and who isn't, right? I mean, it's hard to make ends meet on simply your salary. Contact law enforcement specialists, and they will put you on the list for extra duty jobs. Just like you go through your own agency to get extra duty jobs, well, they do it for you, and they work with your agency. It's really interesting. They're the only company I know of that does this. So if you go to offdutypoliceofficers.com, you can find out all about this company, and then you can also contact them and make yourself available for extra duty assignments. If you are a company that hires off-duty cops, then you want to do the same thing. Law enforcement specialists, they're out of Arizona, but they have a presence in most of the United States. And check them out at offdutypoliceofficers.com. And this is a great opportunity for both law enforcement and people who hire them to kind of make things easier. So check them out. That's law enforcement specialists at offdutypoliceofficers.com.
End of watch.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay our respects to the men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty. This week, I have four names to read. The first is Special Agent Melissa Morrow of the United States Department of Justice, Federal Bureau of Investigation. Special Agent Melissa Morrow died as a result of brain cancer that she developed following her assignment to the search and recovery efforts at the Pentagon following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. She was assigned to FBI Washington's Field Office's Evidence Response Team and spent 10 weeks recovering and processing evidence from the site in hazardous and contaminated conditions. Special Agent Morrow had served with the FBI for 22 years and was assigned to the Kansas City Field Office at the time of her death. She is survived by her parents and her sister. Special Agent Melissa Morrow, United States Department of Justice, FBI, end of watch, March 22nd, 2018. The second officer is police officer Andre Laza Caraballo of the municipal police in Puerto Rico. Police officer Andre Laza Caraballo was shot and killed while intervening in a shooting incident while off duty at approximately 1:30 p.m. Police officer Andre Laza Caraballo was shot and killed while intervening in a shooting incident while off duty at approximately 1:30 p.m. He was patronizing a barbershop when several men started smoking marijuana in front of it. When the shop owner asked the men to leave, he was attacked. The officer identified himself as an officer and attempted to intervene when several of the subjects entered with rifles and opened fire. Officer Laza Caraballo was able to return fire, killing one of the men and wounding a second before being fatally shot. The remaining two subjects fled the scene and remain at large. Officer Laza Caraballo had served with the Municipal Police Department for 10 years. He is survived by his two children. Police Officer Andre Laza Caraballo of the Municipal Police in Puerto Rico, end of watch, Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. The third officer to lose his life in the line of duty is Kevin Miller, Trooper Kevin Miller of the Connecticut State Police. Trooper Kevin Miller was killed in a vehicle crash on eastbound I-84 in Toland at approximately 12:30 p.m. His patrol car collided with the back of a tractor trailer that was traveling slower than other traffic in the right lane of the interstate. Trooper Miller was a U.S. Marine Corps veteran. He had served with the Connecticut State Police for 19 years, was assigned to Troop C. He is survived by his two children. Trooper Kevin Miller, Connecticut State Police, end of watch, Thursday, March 29th, 2018. And the fourth officer to lose his life in the line of duty is Police Officer Philip Meacham of the Hopkinsville Police Department in Kentucky. Police Officer Philip Meacham was shot and killed while assisting another officer who was attempting to arrest an escapee on Paulette Court at approximately 5:10 p.m. Officer Meacham, who was off duty, heard the officer call for assistance and responded to the scene. He was shot by the subject, who then stole a truck and fled to Clarksville, Tennessee. The man was located in Clarksville by local police and United States Marshals. He was shot and killed as the officers attempted to take him into custody. Officer Meacham had served with the Hopkinsville Police for 1 year, previously served with the Christian County Sheriff's Office for 12 years. He is survived by his wife, daughter, and parent. Police Officer Philip Meacham, Hopkinsville Police Department, Kentucky, end of watch, Thursday, March 29th, 2018. May all of these officers rest in peace. I want to thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network.